Hello, you're listening to Let's Eat In today on Heritage Radio Network, which is based at Roberta's Pizza, as usual, in Bushwick. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and today we have a lovely group of guests right now. We've got the Franks from Frankie Spontino and Prime Meats, which would be Frank Castronovo, Frank Falcinelli. They're both smoking weed right now as we speak. Just kidding.
Great to be here.
Thanks for coming.
Great to be here.
What did you guys think of, are we allowed to talk about that Times article from last week? Or?
Sure. It was in the Times.
Everybody's talking about it.
This might be our final discussion we'll have about it. In public.
Okay. We're on too air. Many.
Well, we figured we started and finished at the top with the Times.
Yeah. Well, you guys have been in the Times mentioned before, but this was a very, for folks who didn't see this article, it was a very specific trend article in the dining section talking about how marijuana plays a role in a lot of chefs' decisions in menu creation and, I believe, you know, creativity and how they run their business, you know, late night munchie fest you know, menus and all that stuff.
It definitely has a big part in the service industry.
Yeah.
It probably has been that way for a long time.
Yeah, so this is like kind of old hat.
After caveman invented fire.
Okay, so this is not, maybe not so much a trend then, maybe a
It's a trend for the Times. When the Times reports it, you know, It definitely hits the masses.
Interesting. Do you think a lot of restaurateurs will be smoking the reefer now, who maybe weren't before?
Maybe they feel that it's okay to do it now.
Okay. They're like, it's okay. All right. We also have Shane Welch here. Thanks for coming. He's eating pizza.
Shane.
Pizza's good.
Yeah. Shane's from Six Point Craft Ales. He's been on the show before. He just had to join in for this lovely chat. So, aside being in the news for...
Don't ask about the weed beer.
Oh.
Oh, you talked about that.
Popping off.
The Popinov has come up a few times. It's popped up in conversation.
And you won't ever have the Times report the Popinov because the Popinov only exists in your head.
I think Sam Sifton might have had some of the popping off.
Oh, really?
Did anybody see the NBC special on marijuana last night?
I did.
It was a whole hour long special on the legalization of marijuana and growing it, and it featured this guy out in California who imported $50 million of marijuana a year. He was the major marijuana importer.
I've seen that guy.
I think that the worst thing that can happen in stuff like that, especially like the NBC thing and slightly in the New York Times article, is a gimmickization of, you know, it always has some kind of goofy consonation of like this stoner culture, and you know, it's always kind of taken like as a big fat joke, but it the fact remains that 9 out of 10 people smoke marijuana, mm-hmm. and 8 out of 10 people never want to say they smoke marijuana.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like if it wants to be taken seriously as a legalization and as a culture, just as much as alcohol and other alternative style drugs, then the gimmickization has to kind of could be taken away
right.
from it.
So let's bring it back let's bring it into a more realistic light instead of like
It's not always every time that there's an article about it something's said, it's like there's a he and there's a tie-dye something, and it becomes this kind of like
goofiness.
It's not really be taken seriously. If you have a business that's creating over, you know, $200 billion a year nationwide as an industry,
and it's America's number one cash crop.
What?
Yeah, when you look at the statistics on how much revenue that marijuana produces in California versus the almond industry or the spinach industry, it's staggering.
Or the movie industry.
Yeah, it's staggering, and and now California as a state is bankrupt. So now what they're considering is
Arnold.
Maybe they could actually turn that into an industry. And then that way they could have a viable economy.
I think instead of having all these drug lords and, you know, shady.
I mean, it really comes down to the government figuring out a way to tax it and legalizing it. And then take that money and put it into healthcare. And we've solved a huge problem in the country in one move.
Well, in the show last night, they had the smoke shops in California, and they're charging $41 or $45 a gram. Street value of marijuana right now is around $450 to $500 an ounce, and at $41 to $45 a gram, it comes out to like $1,100 to $1,400 an ounce. Which that means that it's twice to three times the price, so you'd have a lot of excess money. I don't know if people are actually going to want to pay that price, but that's what it is.
Well, I was also intrigued by the kind of
that talking. That stuff is really strong too. That's the G13. That's the, you know.
Don't touch with that. Yeah, it's not for beginners.
No.
Okay.
That comes with a warning.
All right. So I thought it was also interesting to talk about how this influence really zapped into this industry, which is the food industry, creative, you know, it's something that a lot of chefs have in common, whereas, you know, other industries, maybe, you know, writing, novelists have a notoriety for being alcoholics, and that's kind of their sauce. Do you feel that it's really prominent in the food industry?
It's prominent in every industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I was wondering.
Across the board.
I don't want to drop any names in my industry, but they're in the craft brewing industry, not like big, larger factories, but craft brewers. There's an association with marijuana that goes back decades, to the point where there's a brewery in California. Every year they throw a festival where everyone brings in their marijuana harvest, whether it's homegrown in a closet or out in their backyard or wherever, and they bring that in with their beers. And they've been doing this for over 20 years. And everyone knows it as a beer festival, but it's not a beer festival, it's a weed festival.
It's a harvest day.
And it's a harvest fest, but and it's totally like legit in terms of they know what's going on. And no one's going to really do anything to stop the fest. But in my industry, it's been like this for decades, and to the point now where people are naming beers like the 420 beer. You know, they know who their market is, and they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
and it's
it's been this kind of annoyingly hush hush, you know, taboo topic, but now we're talking about it. Like,
it's getting loose. It's getting out there. Right. People are more and more. You know, especially with the legalization of it in certain states in the country, it's definitely becoming more of a topic that people are able to talk about freely and have expressed their opinions. You know, we're like the third generation of pot smokers, you know, or second generation of pot smokers. And like my parents' generation, even a little bit before that, 50s, 60s, they were using pot. You know, they've all grown up. They're in their 60s, 70s now, you know, and you've seen a full cycle of people who've used it and know what it's all about. And everybody who's participated in that cycle knows that it's, I mean, sitting next to Shane, who's makes the best beer in the state and
planet,
one of the best beers in the country.
Universe.
We haven't gone there yet, but we will.
No, I think.
But I mean, the thing about my point is that the beer,
to Mars.
Beer, Bush. Drinking alcohol. If you put side by side, you know, and with all due respect, you know, you could really do a lot more damage to yourself and other people if you are not responsible. If you're not a responsible drinker, as opposed to being a non-responsible pot smoker. I mean, pot smokers. You fall asleep if you can't OD on smoking weed.
There's no reported violent crimes, you know, performed on marijuana. You don't have domestic violence with marijuana. You don't have massive car accidents with marijuana.
One thing that's interesting, Kathy mentioned, you said, like, as a writer, you know, booze has long been the beverage of choice, or let's just say drug of choice, right?
Yeah.
So journalists are known for a few cocktails, and it helps them open up and write easier, freer. But in other industries, you know, some people have a different drug of choice, and it has to do with what their intentions are. So when you smoke weed, a lot of people believe, and I can attest, that it opens up your palate and it opens up your mind to new flavors and sensations. So if you work in that industry and you appreciate that effect, it's going to become something that you're going to want to use recreationally.
I do think there is also a click aspect to it too. If you're all your idols were, I don't know, alcoholics, Ernest Hemingway and so forth, and maybe all your idols were Jimi Hendrix, and you know, you did all
Jerry Garcia.
Psychedelic drugs, so forth and so forth. Do you find, do you guys feel like this might be something that younger chefs will be aspiring towards, and you know, they'll look up to you guys and maybe try to emulate you? Do you feel like some sort of
possibly?
Yeah.
And if they need to, you know, some people don't, and I, you know, we're not always smoking pot every day, all day. You know, there are times when we do, and I would definitely say that there's nothing wrong, bad about it. You know, it definitely creates less boundaries as far as your creative thinking abilities, you know, and what you can, you know, dream of. It definitely, you know, opens those doors.
And what do you think is like the best, I don't know, tangible piece of evidence of that? Any, like, you know, something you came up with, a dish maybe?
No, I think it's important to note that, you know, what I was talking to Kim Severson about in the Times in that article is, when THC is processed in your body, it deprives your brain of sugar. So when your brain goes into a state of lack of sugar in your brain receptors, that's what you're experiencing as what is known as the high effect. So not only can you come down from it because you're craving carbohydrates, or your body wants to retrieve those carbohydrates to stop the high effect, it creates the correlation between foods and marijuana in itself, because you have to...
You're deficient. And you're trying to replace the deficiency.
How about some dessert?
Everything. I'm a chocoholic. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that right when we come back. I forgot to mention, today's show is brought to you by Edwards Ham of Surrey, Virginia. Check out surreyfarms.com. I chose a little musical interlude. It's a real classic. Maybe you can name it. We'll be right back.
A girl went back to Napoli because she missed the scenery, the native dances and the charming songs. But wait a minute, something's wrong. Mambo Italiano, eh, Mambo, Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up Siciliano, all you Calabrese do the Mambo like a crazy with a, eh, Mambo, don't want a Tarantella, eh, Mambo, no more the mozzarella, eh, Mambo, Mambo Italiano, try an enchilada with the fish baccalà, and eh, Gumba, I love how you dance a rumba. But take some of advice, Paisano. Learn how to mambo. If you're gonna be a square, you ain't gonna go nowhere. Hey, mambo, mambo Italiano. Hey, mambo, mambo Italiano. Go, go, Joe. Shake like a Giovanni. Hey, look, as a ditch, you get a happy in the feet. So when you mambo, Italiano.
Mambo Italiano by Rosemary Clooney. That was fun. We're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Arway, and today's show is brought to you by Edwards Ham of Surrey, Virginia. Sorry for not mentioning that right at the beginning.
Let's hear it for Edward.
Yeah, sorry, Edward. SurreyFarms.com, check it out. This is Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza. Thanks to our engineers and producer, Jack Inslee and Nat Wiener. So today we're talking with the Franks, Frankie Spentino and Prime Meats. A couple locations: Brooklyn, Manhattan.
Cafe Peddler.
Cafe Peddler. Sorry, that's another.
Frankie's Olive Oil.
Frankie's Olive Oil, which is sold at those locations as well, and online. Correct or no?
Yeah, is brought to you by Frankie's.
Okay.
Olive Oil.
So the Franks have been in the news lately, and we were just talking about some, you know, interesting tidbits that came up last week in the Times about marijuana. But more importantly, they have a cookbook coming up. And that's real big news. This is your first cookbook, correct?
It's the first book.
For both of you. Yeah. It's really amazing. I'm looking at it right now. It's called The Frankie Spuntino Kitchen Companion.
And Cooking Manual.
And Cooking Manual.
An illustrated guide to Simply the Finest, because it's an illustrated book.
I thought you were like reading. I thought that was like more subtitle stuff, but no, it's very sparse of, you know, any crap. It doesn't have a whole lot of fluff, is what I mean.
Yeah, well,
it's just a real hearty manual.
Yeah, starting with the size of the book, it's handy. It's meant to be used in the kitchen. It doesn't have a jacket.
It doesn't have one of those bookmark like ribbons that would
take
be kind
of nice.
Take
the belly band off.
Oh yeah.
We wanted to get that. We fought for it, but our publisher wouldn't allow it. But we did want to have that. It was actually printed in the United States by a Bible printing company.
Oh, no way.
And it has gilded edges on the pages, and it's just a handy book to work with in the kitchen. It's meant to be used in the
kitchen.
We're
hoping to have one in every hotel room in America. just like the Bible.
Way better. Yeah.
Gidgen.
So everybody who's who's tried the wonderful food there can learn the methodology and the theory and the thought behind how it was created in this wonderful book. I actually read it all, and I really enjoyed it. Peter Meehan was your co-writer, correct? He was on the show a few weeks ago. Yeah. And it sounds like you guys had some fun writing it together.
Good times.
Yeah. What I really like about it, too, is that I think in one part you mentioned it's very conversational, the recipes. I see you chose intentionally to go with this old school format of putting the ingredients on the side.
Right.
And then just have it very pared down.
The head notes.
And that's kind of a dated method. Why'd you choose that?
It's a timeless format. Which is what we adapted for the book. It kind of came from the Ardell's.
The
Ardell's Carpenter's Manual.
The Ardell's Carpenter's Manuals.
They're like guides on how to build everything. And you could just go in, and if you want to learn how to miter a door, it would tell you how to do everything there was to miter and make a door jam from scratch.
Step by step with illustrations. And sort of like our restaurant, which was designed, or it was built. The buildings were built in the 1800s, and the books that we decided to use, the book that we decided to make was similar to that era of the 1800s.
Very cool.
Yeah,
it definitely has this like timeless, you know, rich.
And I think that at some point, once you get past the pictures of, you know, other books that are out there, and I'm not knocking other books out there. I'm just saying that we tried to make our book the most useful possible. That if you want that go-to Italian recipe book that had all the information plus the techniques, and you could, it was on your counter the whole, you know, at all times, then that would be it, and you wouldn't constantly be paging through all this information that wasn't relevant after, you know, the first or second looking.
Yeah, and the recipes are simple. The ingredients are not. You know, they're available everywhere, and it's basically
the food that's on the menu.
It's the food that's on the menu. We've cooked it a million times. We didn't skew it and leave things out. Some people have asked me that. I don't know. Maybe they've had problems with cooking from all the cookbooks before, and I know that it is true. Sometimes it's hard to to follow some recipes in some books, but ours work.
Nice, because you've done it a million times. Yep. Now, are you afraid that people will be, you know, you're sharing your secrets, now everyone's going to be making cavatelli like you do, or maybe not going to your restaurants anymore because they're so busy having fun making it at home? No? Yes?
I'm not worried. I think that you know, it's still going to go back to Frankie's to get the cavatelli, and you're still going to go back to get the bresciol because we do it great, and we've, you know, it's easier. You know, the bottom line is it still takes a little time, and a lot of people don't have the time to get everything together. But when they do, they can, and they can successfully have a great meal if they follow all the steps in the book. At the same time, you know, we've had our menu now for 5 years, and we've changed some of it seasonally. But I think this is also a good time for us to you know, really edit our menu and come up with a lot of new things, which we have
right now.
A lot
season?
Of ideas, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Moving forward from here, it's like this is the end of an era, mm-hmm. so to speak. The last 6 years that we've been doing this, and it's time to move into a new era, you know, and come up with a bunch of new ideas, because we do have tons of them.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Get ready to see lots of changes in the menu at Frankie's Spatino next.
And might I add, as the objective critic.
You're not objective at all.
Well, the new additions to the menu have been some of the best things that have come out of Frankie's. They're really inspired, clean, very minimal, but pure. The raw ingredients are superb. They have a couple new salads that are outrageous.
We're looking forward to using some of the ingredients that the farm is going to produce.
Which farm?
This farm.
Oh.
Yeah, the rooftop farm.
The rooftop farm.
The rooftop
Just
farm.
Just looking for a piece of lettuce or something. Throw me a bone.
Wait, are you talking about which
farm? Yeah, we're talking about the new rooftop garden.
The Brooklyn Grange.
The Brooklyn Grange. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that should be really exciting. Cool. So, you know, I like to ask everybody this, but what do you think is the most romantic, date-worthy meal ever?
Yes, Shane.
You already asked me this.
Silence falls on the village.
Well, remember what I said last time. It's when
I actually can't remember.
Yeah, it's when come home after a nice hard day of work, and I open the apartment door, and you're there making a great meal.
Okay, recipe for.
She's in the apron.
Meal.
She's in the apron with the Frankie's book in her hand.
No,
right?
One of the things I like to talk about. Wow. No, I mean, a lot of people throw around, you know, awesome date meal. You know, I like
to
talk
me,
about.
You text me. You're like, bring home a growler, baby. I'll have that. I have the meal on.
I want to know what exactly it is. It's what food?
It's subjective.
Obviously, yeah. Yes. But
I think
specific right now.
I think if we had to put a dish. Yeah. It's the cavatelli.
It's the cavatelli with brown butter, sage.
It's just got the spice. Just enough spice.
Little
just
spice.
Just enough. Just enough fat. Enough love. Just enough carbohydrates. It's all contained in one. It doesn't fill you up too much. I think that that's a great thing. You know, in the garden of Frankie's.
It could fill you up. That's the cavatelli pasta.
Yeah.
I mean. Isn't that like a potato-y, or is it ricotta-y?
It's got ricotta in it, yeah.
Oh, okay, it's nice and
I'm a big fan of the walk-in reservation at La Bernardin.
The walk-in res in the afternoon.
So anything goes? Doesn't matter? Just do it up to a hilt? No?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little spice, a little bit of everything, well-rounded meal, simple meal.
Yeah.
And you're saying the most, elaborate, extravagant
restaurant in New York.
Do you guys have a lot of conflicts? Do you always have you always worked together this like seamlessly, or do you ever have like creative, wars?
Farts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the same name. I mean, it's just
that's
it seems
what the
like
marijuana's for.
You should have named this book like Cooking Frankly.
Don't you
Simple,
like the name of the book?
Seasonal. No, I do like.
Doesn't it roll off your tongue after 6 or 7 breaths?
Kitchen Companion Cooking Manual.
What's the name of that book one more time?
It's a Frankie's Kitchen Companion Cooking Manual, an illustrated guide to simply the finest.
And can you find that on Amazon.com?
Yes, get it on Amazon.com. They're controlling the market at $16.95, a steal for all that kind of information.
And it comes out June 10th, correct?
June 10th, yes.
Are you guys going to do a lot of book signings? Any like public
We're doing a full tour around the country. We're doing Rhode Island,
Boston, Toronto, Montreal, then we're starting up in Seattle, coming down to Portland.
Oh, wow.
Going into San Francisco, Los Angeles. We're doing a dinner at Animal, having a big party there with the Animal guys.
Terrific.
And I think we're doing Amsterdam and London.
And London.
So two, and then we're going to be in all the Whole Foods stores in the New York area. All 22 stores. We'll be doing signings and olive oil tastings.
Oh, well, that's
yeah. Amsterdam. We're gonna do it at the Stumptown spot. They have a pop up shop in London, in Amsterdam. In London, we may actually find a place.
Harrods. Harrods wants us.
I heard.
I'm kidding, but if anybody from Harrods is out there and you want us in your store,
I believe,
give me a buzz.
I believe we got an offer from Savile Row.
Savile Row.
Yeah.
So some guy that's making a suit wants us to do the book.
So I can see your cool. Cavatelli is going to be cooked in a lot of kitchens in a short while. Sounds like it. Well, congratulations on this book. It's really a fascinating, you know, it's a really comprehensive, terrific
go-to.
Yeah. Delicious, you know, food inspiring book, and it definitely made me want to make a lot of recipes right away. So
and I'm the unintended beneficiary of that. And for those of you listening out there and you can't see the book, it's worth it to get it just for the visuals. A lot of thought went into the book. It's visually stunning.
Designed by Travis Kaufman.
Utilitarian function as well.
Right
thanks,
on.
Thanks, T-Bone.
Well, thanks for coming on air. Hopefully another time. And, you know, we'll see you signing books pretty soon.
See us eating pizza right now.
Yeah. All right. So thanks to our producer, Jack and Nat. And I'm your host, Kathy Irwin. We'll see you next week on Let's Eat In. Anymore.